Let us all humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We come before you, Father, seeking a blessing. We know, Father, that we are truly in the last days. We ask, Father, that you would bless your people, that you would cause us, Father, to draw closer to you as we want you to be in our lives, Father. We want your protection. We want to be under the shadow of your wings in your tabernacle, Father, hidden from the world as these wicked days are coming upon your people and upon this earth. We ask, Father, not only would you protect your people, but that you would continue to bless us, that you would continue to keep us and educate us as you did Ezra and Daniel during the captivity. But, Father, we know that during this tribulation that is soon to come upon this earth, that it's going to be the most wicked time and the most evil time that has ever come upon this earth. And we ask for your protection. We ask, Father, that you would grant us with the wisdom that we need, which comes from your word, the wisdom from on high. And we ask, Father, that we would take this to heart, your words, and make the changes in our lives, Father, that we would be obedient to your covenant and that we would be accepted as your people. Through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, which cleanses all our sin, because we know that all men are sinners. The difference is that we have to be repentant sinners, Father, and that our sins are going to be forgiven, each and every one, through the blood of the Lamb, Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you again, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous light just by us keeping your Sabbath and keeping it holy, keeping it separate from the world. And this has been offered. This covenant has been offered to all men, but we've chosen to keep it, Father. And we ask, Father, not that we're anything special, but that you would bless your people who've chosen Yahshua. So we thank you again, Father, and ask that your will be done in our lives and that you would bless this service, bless the words that you prepared this day, that they would have free course in each and every one of us, and that we would give glory to you. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. The message is entitled, Give Yourself to Yahweh. Too often, we get caught up in this life, in the things that we want as carnal beings. I was speaking to a young man the other day and mentioned something about being carnal, and he didn't understand what that meant. And as I was explaining to him, there is a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean, when it comes to the worship of Almighty Yahweh. There are separation, and we have to understand that that separation is there for a purpose. This is why the Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. But Yahshua ripped the veil in half when he died. That veil was broken so that the Gentiles have an opportunity at life everlasting and at the kingdom. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11 for our opening scripture. That's Romans chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. I say then, did Yahweh cast off his people? By no means, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Yahweh did not cast off his people who he previously knew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Eliab, how he pleads with Yahweh against Israel? Yahweh, they have killed your prophets. They have digged down your altars or torn down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what answer did Yahweh give to him? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. But if it is by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. What then? That which Israel seeks for, that he obtained not, but the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened. So it says that the elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. Why were they hardened? They were hardened because they accepted not that covenant. They didn't do what Yahweh wanted them to do. He had revealed to them who he was. He had revealed to them his son, Yahshua the Messiah, and they rejected him. Even Paul, who's saying that he is an Israelite, had rejected Yahshua the Messiah and persecuted the assembly. He persecuted the apostolic assembly. In verse 8 it says, according as it is written, Yahweh gave them a spirit of stupor. Eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their backs always. I say then, did they stumble that they might fall? By no means, but by their fall salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Is making a separation between the people of Yahweh, Israel, and the Gentile nations. Okay? It's saying that their fall gives the Gentiles an opportunity to hear the glad tidings. And we know Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. In verse 12 it says, now if their fall is the riches of the world and their loss the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? But I speak to you that are Gentiles because I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I glorify my ministry, and if by any means I may provoke to jealousy them that are my flesh, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was of the Jewish people. He says, that I may provoke to jealousy them that are my flesh and may save some of them. For if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Paul was trying to bring salvation to his people. But he says that he was sent to the Gentiles, an apostle to the Gentiles. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now Yahweh said to Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and him that curses you will I curse. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed by blessing Abram and his descendants. This is one of the reasons we each week talk about praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We want to receive the blessings of the family, the mishpachah of Israel, Abraham's descendants. And we are spiritually his descendants. A family becomes a great spiritual nation. It says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do we believe the words of Yahweh, brethren? Paul claimed to be a descendant of Abraham. And he was, fleshly. But he was also against Yahshua and his followers until Yahshua struck him down on Damascus Road to get his attention, to open his eyes. Isaiah chapter 59. We'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. So when Yahweh doesn't hear your prayers, if Yahweh's not responding to what you're asking him for, there may be a reason there. It may be that you are still in sin, that you haven't repented of your sin. See? Because sin separates. Drop down to verse 9. It says, therefore is justice far from us, neither does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in obscurity. We grope for the wall like the blind. Yes, we grope as they that have no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the twilight among them that are lusty. We are as dead men. We roar all like bears and moan severely like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. We look for justice and there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Transgressing and denying Yahweh, and turning away from the following our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And justice is turned away backwards, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. So when you turn your life around, when you start keeping the covenant, expect to have problems. Okay? It says, yes, truth is lacking, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. I told the brethren when they joined YPTC in Trinidad that there was going to be problems, that they were going to receive some oppression. And sure enough, they did. And Yahweh saw it. And it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness it upheld him, and he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, according he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west. We live in the west here in the United States. And we are fearing the name of Yahweh. We're trying to take the Great Commission to the world so that the people know and they understand who the Mighty One of Israel is. And his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come as a rushing stream which the breath of Yahweh drives. And a redeemer will come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob and Israel, says Yahweh. He's going to call. This call is going out throughout the whole earth. Verse 21, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from now on and forever. So he's talking about our children and our grandchildren are going to know the law of Yahweh. They're going to know this covenant. This covenant is going to be taught to them. We're supposed to be giving ourselves to Yahweh. See, if we give ourselves to the world, you know what's going to happen. You're going to end up in destruction. But if you give yourself to Yahweh, you're going to receive a blessing. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 16. The first fruit is Yahshua the Messiah. And it says, and if the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive. He's talking to the Gentiles right now. He's talking to the Gentiles. So this is about the nation. And Paul said he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He says, but if some of the branches were broken off and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and did become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree. The fatness of the olive tree. We know an olive tree can live, 1,000 years. After 200-300 years, it's just starting to put out a lot of olives. It's producing. It says, glory not over the branches, but if you glory, it is not you that bear the root, but the root you. See, we can't glory over where we are and what we're doing. We got to give ourselves to Yahweh humbly. Understanding that we have been given an opportunity that very few people have. When we look at the amount of people on this earth, the amount of people who have lived on this earth, we are such a small, infinitesimal, a very, very small number. Because right now there's almost 7 billion people in the world. It's a lot of people. How many of us worship Yahweh? How many of us know what Yahweh is about? Very few. It says in verse 19, you will say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off. and you stand by your faith, but be not high-minded, but fear. For if Yahweh did not spare the natural branches, and we're talking about Jewish people here, okay, the Israelite people, neither will he spare you. That's why we have to be humble. We have to accept the blessings that we've received from Almighty Yahweh. His name is so important. And too many people take it for granted. Behold then the goodness and severity of Yahweh toward them that fell. Severity, but toward you, Yahweh's goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. For Yahweh is able to graft them, and again, he can bring Israel back. He can bring the Jewish people back. For if you were cut out of that which is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted in their own olive tree? You understand, this olive tree that he's speaking of is Israel. Okay? Now, they were broken off so that we could be grafted in. And we're grafted in because we have chosen Yahshua the Messiah. We'll read verse 24 again. We're in Romans 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 24. It says, for if you were cut out of that which is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So what's happening here is that they have an opportunity, okay? Israel has an opportunity to come back to Yahweh. The Jewish people have an opportunity to come back to Yahweh. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. And what he's saying here in verse 25, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you may be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part has befallen Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles may come in. This is a particular time that this is going to happen. Okay? Until the fullness of the Gentiles may come in. Now, Paul, as an apostle to the Gentiles, this was happening how long ago? We're talking almost 2,000 years ago. Okay? The fullness of the Gentiles hasn't come in. Israel, when they were sent into captivity, their punishment was multiplied. In Leviticus 26, it was multiplied because they did not yield from the idolatry. They continued in the idolatry. So he told them that they would be taken away into captivity, multiplied times seven. See, the Jewish people went in for 70 years, and they came back to Jerusalem. They came back and built the temple. Now we have the opportunity in these last days to build the real temple, which is a spiritual temple made out of the blocks. Each one of us is a spiritual temple to Almighty Yahweh. This is why we have to be holy. This message is entitled, Give Yourself to Yahweh. It says, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you may be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part has befallen Israel. Did not Yahweh harden the heart of Pharaoh? Pharaoh had hardened his own heart first, but then Yahweh hardened it, so that he would let Israel go. So he would have to go through these 10 plagues, and then he would let Israel go. But Israel's heart was hardened. And they will harden until the fullness of the Gentiles may come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, even as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. We know who that deliverer is. Okay? That's our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. He shall turn away lawlessness from Yaakov, from Jacob, from Israel. And this is my covenant to them when I shall take away their sins. He's going to take away each and every one of our sins, brethren. All we have to do is be repentant. And our sins are forgiven. The olive tree is Israel. They were broken off because of their unbelief. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to start in verse 15. Deuteronomy 32, 15. Remember, the title is Give Yourself to Yahweh. Too often, we're giving ourselves to our own carnal nature. As I said when I was speaking to the young man this past week about being carnal, he didn't understand what I was talking about. And I had to break it down and let him know that there's a separation between the holy and common, the clean and the unclean with Yahweh. And what happens is that most people of this world are in a carnal state. They're not in a spiritual state. They don't understand that separation. And until they understand the separation, they're going to be following their carnal desires. They're going to be seeking those things that are earthly, and where we should be seeking that which is spiritual at all times. Yahweh is going to give us the best, okay, as his people. And in verse 15 it says, But Jeshurun grew fat. The term Jeshurun, the name means the upright one. And kicked. You have become fat. You have grown thick. You have become sleek. Then he forsook Elohim who made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And see, that's what happens too often with people when they receive the blessings of Almighty Yahweh, the riches of Almighty Yahweh. They get to a point where they become arrogant. Okay? They get full of themselves. Like, I know. You think about the Pharisees, and a lot of times people say we're hard on the Pharisees. Okay? There's a reason for it. They knew the oracles of Yahweh. They did not have a relationship with the Gentile people. They didn't want to share that with the Gentile people. See? They wanted it for themselves, okay? Now, they'll go out of their way to recruit people, you might say, to the faith, but then they make them a son of Gehenna 15 times over because of the practice. What Yahshua said in Matthew 23:1, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Do as they say, not as they do, because they're hypocrites. They were teaching the law, okay? But see, there's a difference. You can teach the law strictly, or you can teach it with compassion. And that's what Yahshua did. Yahshua taught the word of Yahweh with compassion. He taught with authority, and they recognized the difference. The people that heard Yahshua recognized that he knew from his heart what Yahweh was expressing to the people. In verse 16, it says, they moved him to jealousy with strange Elohim. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Now, if they knew who Yahweh was, why were they worshiping idols or false mighty ones? Demons, basically, is what it is. As it says in verse 17, they sacrificed to demons, which were no Elohim, to Elohim that they knew not, to new Elohim that came up of late, which your fathers dreaded not. Of the rock that procreated you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the El that gave you birth. And see, this is what happens to those that have the knowledge of the law of Yahweh and go away from it. They become arrogant because they believe that they are saved. You know, a lot of people walk around, well, I'm saved. You know, and I know this is a Christian thing that, you know, once saved, always saved. You know, I'm there, I'm good. You know, but what they don't realize, and the Bible does say a righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a problem, okay? But we have to humbly accept what Yahweh is teaching us. We have to humbly accept the word of Almighty Yahweh, because that word is what's going to get us to the kingdom. But we have to accept it and humbly teach it to our brethren, one another. And we show that through love. That's the compassion that Almighty Yahweh has shown us. We have to show others. And see, we won't overcome. If we're giving ourselves to Yahweh, we won't overcome until we have loved the unlovely, loved our enemy. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 37 to 47. John 5, 37, we'll start there, it says, "And the Father that sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And you have not his word remaining in you, for whom he sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of Elohim in yourselves." Who is he talking to? This is Yahshua the Messiah speaking. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the leaders of Israel. He's talking to the Jewish authority, the people. "And you will not come to me that you may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you that you have not the love of Elohim in yourselves." Because what does the love of Elohim entail? What's the Shema? Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Yahweh is one. And for us to be one, we have to love our neighbor. We have to love our enemy. And that's not something that's easy to do. But Yahshua did it. Yahshua did it. How, in verse 44, no, back to verse 43, it says, "I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive the glory one of another, and the glory that comes from the only Elohim you seek not?" And that's Yahshua. He came from Almighty Yahweh. It says, "How can you believe who receive glory one of another, and the glory that comes from the only Elohim you seek not? Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, but if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" And see, this is what Yahshua is telling them. They not believe in Moses, who they're, you know, they revered Moses. And they're not even believing him, because he wrote of Yahshua the Messiah. And he says, "But if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me," in Deuteronomy 18:15. "But if you believe not his writings, How shall you believe my words? I'm telling you, brethren, we have to give ourselves to Yahweh. And we have to do it in a great way, because that's the only choice. What's the alternative? Giving yourself to the world? You know, too many people are doing that right now. And what's the benefit? They're going to inherit what? The lake of fire. They're not going to inherit the kingdom. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 11. We'll read 11 to 13. He came to his own, and they that were his own received him not. This is why in Romans 11, Paul is talking about the hardening of Israel, the hardening of their hearts. They received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of Yahweh, even to them that believe on his name. This is why the name of Yahweh is so important. There's so many people out there battling back and forth about, oh, you don't have to worship in that name. Oh, you can, you know, go with JC or, you know, all these other pagan names or whatever. But no, Yahweh is the only name that gives you salvation. It means I'm eternal. He's the one that can give it. I said there's almost 7 billion people in the world. How many of them worship Yahweh? Very few. Very few. Just a remnant. It's a small amount. It says in verse 13, who are begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. See, it's very important for us to recognize who we are, what our purpose is today. That great commission that was given tells us to go out into all the world in Matthew, right? It tells us go out into all the world. A lot of people forget this. He told them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, that's Yahweh, and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have to give ourselves to Yahweh, brethren, before it's too late. Turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. I'm going to start in verse 1. My El, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And the words of my groaning. O my Elohim, I cry in the daytime, but you answer not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. He inhabits our praises, brethren. This is why we are commanded to give praise to him, as I was speaking earlier. See, too many of us that have the ability to give praise don't do it. He's blessed us, I'm telling you. We're talking about that Mishpachah, the family of Yahweh. He's raised up a group of people. And when you think about it, what's a nation? A nation is just a family grown large. Okay? And our family is growing rapidly. We have a large family. Davis is all over the place. Okay? But the other thing about this that I want you to understand is that as we give ourselves to Yahweh, he's going to bless this nation. And this nation is not only going to affect all the other ones. This is why, this is a psalm of David. It's a messianic psalm, okay? It's about Yahshua the Messiah. Yet David wrote this. It says in verse 3, but you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you did deliver them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. As long as we trust in Yahweh, we will not ever be put to shame. He's going to give us that deliverance. He's going to give us that covering. This is why we sang under the shadow of your wings today. Yahweh protects his people. We don't have to worry about those outside. We don't have to worry about the enemies. Because this is what David is telling us in his the word. And we're going to look at this a little bit more. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, commit yourself to Yahweh. Let him deliver him. See, they're making fun. They don't understand that when we give ourselves to Yahweh, we're done. We're protected. We're strong. See, as long as we're there giving ourselves to Yahweh, we're going to receive the blessings that we need from on high. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You made me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my El since my mother bare me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, but there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaw. And you have brought me into the dust of death, for the dogs have compassed me. And the term dogs in the Hebrew is Gentiles. And I have written in here Romans, because this is referring to Yahshua the Messiah. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They part my garments among them, and upon my garment they cast lots. Be not you far off, O Yahweh, O my strength. Hurry to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the Gentiles. That term, dog, again. Save me from the lion's mouth. The lion is Judah, talking about his own people. And from the horns of the wild oxen, and that's Ephraim and Manasseh, the tribes of Israel. You answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren, which he says in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. In the middle of the assembly, I will praise you. This is Yahshua. He praises Yahweh in the middle of the assembly. You that fear Yahweh, praise him. All you seed of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you, the seed of Israel. And we talked about this earlier in this message, about the seed and our children and our children's children. King David gave himself to Yahweh in almost everything that he did. Therefore, he prospered in everything. Everything that he put his hand to. Turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, we'll start in verse 1. I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. See, David wrote this psalm. He was a servant of Yahweh who spoke to Yahweh the words of this song in the day that Yahweh delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My El, my rock in whom I will take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When we give ourselves to Yahweh, He is going to watch out for us. He's going to save us from our enemies. The cords of death compassed me, and the floods of the unrighteousness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were all around me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried to my Elohim. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry before him came into his ears. Drop down to verse 17 of Psalm 18, verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from my Elohim. For all his ordinances were before me, and I put not away his statutes from me. I was also perfect with him, and I kept myself from my sin, from my iniquity. Therefore has Yahweh recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With the perfect man you will show yourself perfect. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the perverse you will show yourself forward. For you will save the afflicted people, but the haughty eyes you will bring down. For you will light my lamp. Yahweh, my Elohim, will lighten my darkness. For by you I run upon a troop, and by my Elohim I leap over a wall. As for El, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a shield to all them that take refuge in him. And that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to take refuge in Almighty Yahweh, each and every one of us. Turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. We'll start in verse 5. Habakkuk 1:5. Remember, we're talking about giving ourselves to Yahweh. There's a reason for doing this. Behold you among the nations, and look, and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it is told to you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and nasty, hasty nation, that march through the width of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen press proudly on. Yes, their horsemen come from far. They fly as an eagle that haste to devour. They come, all of them, for violence. They set their faces is forward. The set of their faces is forward. And they gather captives as the sand. Yes, he scoffs at kings, and princes are a derision to him. He derides every stronghold, for he heaps up dust and takes it. When shall he sweep by as the wind, and shall pass over and be guilty, even he whose might is his mighty one? See, there are a lot of, you know, Rome is another one, just like the Chaldeans, whose worship, they worship the mighty one. Their mighty one was strength, their might. They worship the mighty one of standards. They believe that no one could defeat them. You understand? Because they were a mighty army, and they felt they were given the right from Yahweh to rule over. And he's the one that gives the right. He's the one that gave Nebuchadnezzar the ability to conquer Judah and to take the Jews into captivity. But he also broke Nebuchadnezzar down. When Nebuchadnezzar got big and arrogant, he made him for 7 years go out as a wild animal, till he recognized who truly was in control. See? Yahweh raises up, and he tears down. And if we give ourselves to Yahweh, he's going to take his people. He's already given us the position of priests and kings in the kingdom to come, which is coming soon upon this earth. In verse 12 it says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Yahweh, my Elohim? My Holy One, we shall not die, O Yahweh. You have ordained him for judgment, and you, O Rock, have established him for correction." And Yahweh will correct us, just like he's correcting the Jewish people. He's going to correct Israel. And a remnant shall return. They're going to come back. "You that are of pure eyes than to behold evil, and that cannot look on perverseness, why do you look upon them that deal treacherously, and hold your peace when the wicked swallow up the man that is more righteous than he?" And that happens. Too often it happens. "And makes men as fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. He takes up all of them with the hook. He catches them in his net, and gathers them in his drag. Therefore he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his drag, because by them his portion is fat and his food plenteous. Shall he therefore empty his net and spare not to kill the nations continually?" These people have to come to the realization that Yahweh is out, that Yahweh is in control. And our job is to take that message to the world so that they will know. How can they learn without a teacher? How can they hear without somebody being sent? This is why we go to Africa. This is why we go to other places, so that we can preach this word so people can hear and turn to Yahweh. Now, we're going to continue in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will look forth to see what he will speak with me, and what I shall answer concerning my complaint. And Yahweh answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hastes towards the end, and shall not lie, though it lingers. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay." Almighty Yahweh is preparing a people for these last days. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. "Brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and those among you that fear Yahweh, to us is the word of this salvation sent forth. And this is what we're talking about. Even here, it was going forth. See? The apostles were doing their job. And we have to do ours in the last days. For they that dwell in Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not. And he's talking about Yahshua. Nor the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath. And this is the New Testament. There are a lot of people saying the Sabbath is done away with. Right here. In the Word, it's talking about keeping the Sabbath. Because this is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they asked Pilate that he be killed. And when they had fulfilled all things that were written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But Yahweh raised him from the dead. And he was seen for many days by them that came up from with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you good tidings of the promise made to the fathers, that Yahweh has fulfilled the same to our children, and that he raised up Yahshua, as it is also written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, this day have I begotten you." And concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this manner, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Because he says also in another Psalm, "You will not give your Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of Yahweh, David gave himself to Yahweh. We saw that. Fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom Yahweh raised up saw no corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brethren, that through this man is proclaimed to you the remission of sins. And that's what has to happen. You have to be baptized. The remission of sins has to happen. You have to give yourself to Yahweh. Okay? There is there has to be a remission of sins for you to receive that baptism in the Yahshua's name. You have to be sorry for those sins. And once you have come to Yahweh with that contrite heart, you can receive that baptism and receive remission of sins and the gift of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. There's a process. And that process has to be followed. And once it's followed, you receive that gift. And in verse 39 it says, "And by him everyone that believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe if one declares it to you." And as they went out, they asked that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, urged them to continue in the grace of Yahweh. See, they accepted what Paul and Barnabas were saying. They were moved. Their heart was pricked. In verse 44 it says, "And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of Yahweh. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It was necessary that the word of Yahweh should first be spoken to you, since you thrust it from yourselves and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so has Yahweh commanded us, saying, I have set you for a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the utmost parts of the earth. And as the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of Yahweh, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They gave themselves to Yahweh. See? And that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to give ourselves to Him. And the word of Yahweh was spread abroad throughout the entire region. But the Jews urged on the devout women of honorable estate and the chief men of the city and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and cast them out of their borders. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to do, brethren, because we have a purpose. We have to give ourselves to Yahweh to fulfill the Great Commission, to be wherever Yahweh wants us to be, so that we can serve Him with one consent. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. First Peter 1, we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who according to His great mercy begat us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. For those who give themselves to Yahweh, this is your gift." This is something that Yahweh is going to do for you. He's going to give you. It's reserved in heaven. Who, in verse 5, by the power of Yahweh, are guarded through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the last days. That's where we are. In which you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. And as I told the brethren in Trinidad, as you join, watch out. There's going to be persecution. You're going to receive it. And sure enough, they have. And they're striving. They're coming through with flying colors. But they're dealing with the problems that they have to deal with because they've chosen Yahshua. They want to overcome this world. That the proof in verse 7 of your faith being more precious than gold, which perishes though it is proved by fire, may be found to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, whom not having seen you love, on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what time and what manner of time the Spirit of the Messiah, which was in them, did point to, when it testified beforehand the suffering of the Messiah, and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but to you, did they minister these things which now have been announced to you through them that preach the good tidings to you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. See, these things that are given to us have been given from Yahshua the Messiah. These aren't given from men. This word is the word Yahweh. It's designed to bring us to the Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, so that we can receive salvation. And all those that receive Yahshua as the Savior receive a part of that salvation. This is why when we're baptized, we receive the laying on of hands and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit, when the Messiah returns, is what is allowing you to be caught up to meet Him in the air. See, that power grows As you study this, the Spirit grows more and more in you. See? Because His words are life in their spirit. See? And this is what we have to do, brethren. Now, in verse 13, it says, therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust and your ignorance, but like as He who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who is without respect of persons, judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you are redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of the Messiah, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake, who through Him are believers in Yahweh, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. And this is the purpose, that our faith would be in Yahweh. That was the purpose of what happened, so that we would believe in Yahweh and be believers of Yahshua the Messiah, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim, seeing you have purified your soul in your obedience to the truth, to the unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently. That's the key, brother. That's the key. That you love one another from the heart fervently. If I stand here and say that I love you, okay, but I don't have within me enough love to share with you if you're in need of some of the blessings that I possess, then I'm not, I don't truly have that love. I'm, you know, just barking. Just barking. See, each of us, and this is where Yahshua had the compassion, because He was willing. He didn't have, for the most part, a formal home, you might say. He went from place to place, people, you know, the man, he told someone, I need a place, I'm going to be here, whatever. They set it up. They made it happen. And when we travel, same thing happens. People open up their homes to us. They look out for us, okay? But this is the love of Yahweh, that we are willing to do that one for another. Even that we get to that point, when we give ourselves to Yahweh, we're overcoming even our enemy. See, and this is something that Yahshua did. He was willing to accept his enemy. He knew who was going to betray him. Did he cast him from the table? No. He's there taking the Passover with him. He broke bread. He took the memorial. See, but Judas had a different agenda. His agenda was still carnal. He wanted the kingdom to come now. But that wasn't what Yahweh wanted. That wasn't Yahweh's purpose. See? And sometimes we do the same thing. We see things through our eyes the way we want to see them. We want this to happen for our purpose. But we have to work ourselves and give ourselves to Yahweh to be a part of His will, to be a part of His purpose. See? And when we figure ourselves into that, that's when we grow. That's when we explode. That's when we see all the blessings coming forth. See? When we learn to love one another from the heart fervently, brethren, we have overcome this world. See? It says, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of Yahweh, which lives and endures. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of it as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of Yahweh endures forever. And this is the word of the good tidings which was preached to you. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. And this is something that we have to do. We have to prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of Almighty Yahweh. Turn to Jacob chapter 1, or James, if you have a King James version, or a lot of those other versions use James instead of Jacob. But we use Jacob chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 12, down to 18. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. It is from within us that draws us away from Yahweh if we're not committed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin, and the sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And truly, that's what he's looking for, first fruit. Yahshua is the true first fruit, and we're just following in his footsteps. Back to Romans 11. We'll close there. Romans 11, verse 28. We started in Romans 11, and we're back there to end. It says, as touching the good tidings, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the calling of Yahweh are not repented of. For as you in times past were disobedient to Yahweh, but now have obtained mercy by their disobedience. We're talking about the Jewish people. We're talking about Israel. Okay? Even so have these also now been disobedient, that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now obtain mercy. They have an opportunity today to obtain mercy themselves. For Yahweh has shut up all to disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of Yahweh, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. For who has known the mind of Yahweh, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory to the ages. Amen. Almighty Yahweh is looking for people who are willing to give themselves to him. they're willing to overcome this life and this world by keeping his covenant law, by putting their lives aside, making him first and foremost in their lives. These are the people who Almighty Yahweh is looking for, who are willing to give themselves to Yahweh. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to do his will. If you'd all rise at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we truly humble our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We love you, Father. We thank you for sharing your word with us. We thank you for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous life. Father, forgive us for our sinful nature. Help us, Father, not to become arrogant, that you would keep us humble, because we know that we've been grafted in, Father, to your olive tree, to your kingdom. We are yours, Father, to do with whatever you will. We love you, and we thank you, and we're willing to give ourselves to you and everything. So help us overcome this life and this world and Satan the devil, Father, as we choose Yahshua the Messiah as our Lamb, and as we accept the blood of this Lamb that cleanses all of our sins. Help us, Father, to be faithful as we seek to change our lives, to do better as we seek to overcome this world and Satan the devil. We love you, Father, and we thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We ask that you bless your brethren throughout the world, wherever they may find themselves. And we ask, Father, that you would again bless this ministry, that it would grow and prosper in these last days. Truly, we do love you, and we thank you for all the blessings from on high that you've shared with us this day. In Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.